Well, I want to say Happy New Year to you all as well. My name is Neil, one of the pastors here, and it's my joy to open up the scripture this morning. But thinking about New Year's Eve at midnight, my family was out there on our street with pots and pans and spoons making a ruckus, shouting out Happy New Year to the darkness. We didn't see anybody else out there. Anybody else make some noise on New Year's Eve at midnight? A few people? Don't show your hands, but I want to know if you were one of the people setting off fireworks. Just like little like wink at me from your seats. Setting off some loud fireworks. I see a couple people. We heard those fireworks. That was a great night. Yeah, I see some hands. People are just proud. We did it. I love it. Got a little tea for my throat here this morning. Our church shared on social media some of our top goals. We had a little question. What are your top goals for 2026? And here's what a couple people said. Some people said growth and stability. It's a good goal. Slow down and organize better. Anybody want to organize better this year? Yes. Get a new car. Go to nursing school. These are good goals. Someone said they want to stay close to Jesus and bless their neighbors. Just God's alive in our church, wanting to work in us and through us this year. My news feed on social media, somehow social media knows that I'm over 40, and my advertisements are all about people over 40 using AI are still using it like Google, and there are 18-year-olds who are using AI to make millions of dollars. You should be like that, and they're trying to sell me on the course to become a millionaire, so I might think about a little job switch. anybody else get the AI advertisements? Well, so there's a lot of things to focus on in this new year. We're starting our sermon series called Bless next week, but what are we talking about today? Today, as we look ahead to this new year, I want to focus on one thing. One thing for 2026. One thing that's going to reset our focus for 2026. And it's the most important thing that we can do as a church. I believe this with all my heart. As we will see, it's an essential part of being human. The one thing that we want to talk about today, the most important work, is prayer. At Covenant Grove, we say that we are prayer-led. Prayer is the one thing. Prayer is the one thing. And I used to believe that. I used to believe that prayer is the most important thing. When I was 18 years old, I came across a little book called Quiet Talks on Prayer by S.D. Gordon. It blew me away. Gordon, in his little book, said things like, the greatest thing anyone can do for God or for mankind is to pray. That got into my heart as an 18-year-old, and it impacted how much time I spent praying. And then over the years, I have slowly shifted into thinking that my activity and my accomplishments were more important than my prayer. They were more important than God's answers to my prayer. Reading the news became more important to me than praying for the world. Doing my job, even my job as a pastor, became more important than praying for my church. And my life became separated from my prayer. I had all my life over here, and I had my prayer time over here, separate, isolated, kind of in a small space right over here. Instead of praying being the one thing, the main thing, the greatest thing, the all-encompassing thing, it became a side thing, even the last thing, the thing that I should probably do more of, but I just don't seem to find the time to do. And yet, over the years, I've noticed God continuing to invite me to pray, continuing to woo me, to give me his attention, continuing to open my eyes to see what is true, that prayer is the most important thing. 18-year-old Neil didn't get it wrong. 42-year-old Neil needs to remember that. And this makes me think of football. Life is like a football game. We've all got our positions to play, and we're all trying to win at the game of life. Maybe you're a 49er, Christian McCaffrey, Anybody? Or maybe you're the Women's Football Alliance MVP, Brianna Barrett. Life is a football game, and prayer is the football. You can play football with something else. You could play football with a rugby ball. You could play football with a soccer ball. You could play football with a tennis shoe. I've played football with a Kleenex box. And you can get by. You can even play football with an imaginary ball. Hey, go deep. She got it. But there's nothing like playing football with a football. Each of us unknowingly often try to live life without prayer. Each of us tries to play football without the ball. And so as we look forward to 2026, I have an earnest desire to play football with you. And this sermon will help us live life as God intended. So let's talk about prayer. Today I want to give a teaching on prayer, and then we're going to practice praying in a couple different ways as a whole church. So first the teaching, and then the practice. This teaching has one application, and I need to tell you the application right now. And usually sermons end with applications, but this application is going to impact how we listen to the whole teaching. So I want to tell it to you right now. You saw it on a slide a minute ago. Here it is. We learn to pray by praying. So pray. This is what we're talking about, folks. We learn to pray by praying. So pray and keep praying. It's good to read books about prayer. It's good to hear sermons about prayer. It's good to talk to people and learn from people about prayer. But the only way you learn to pray, the only way you grow to pray, is by praying. So, of course, I want you to take a few notes for this sermon today. In fact, I have so many points that I'm going to share with you that you will need to take notes. But the most important thing to know about prayer is to actually pray. Pray and keep praying. Back to our football image. You can watch people play football. You can study tactics and moves and strategies. You can do the physics of the arm throw and the physics of the run and the catch. But you only really learn to play football by playing football. So, what I would like to do is share several observations about prayer from the scriptures. And I, like I said, I have seven observations about prayer from the scriptures. Now, there's more that can be said about prayer. There is a lifetime more that can be said about prayer, but we're going to have to content ourselves with these seven today. I want you to grab a pen and some paper or take out your phone and take notes, because there is no other way, literally no other way, to remember all of these points unless you write them down. And my longing is that as we talk about this, and then as you reflect on these points later on with your friends or your life group or whomever, I long for the Holy Spirit to make these themes of prayer come alive and open our eyes to new possibilities of life with God than ever before. So to get started, let us turn to the scriptures. We're going to read three prayers from the scriptures today, and I would like to invite up some of the Gingrich clan on stage. Let's welcome them up as they open the scriptures for us. Come on up, friends. And they're going to read three passages from the scripture.
All right. I am in, I'm reading Psalm 22, verse 1. My God, why have you abandoned me? Why are you so far away when I groan for help?
This is Zephaniah 3:17. For the Lord your God is living among you. He is a mighty Savior. He will take delight in you with gladness. With his love, he will calm all your fears. He will rejoice over you with joyful songs.
Matthew 6:9-13. Pray like this. Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon, and may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today the food we need, and forgive us our sins, as we have forgiven those who sin against us. And don't let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. This is the word of the Lord.
Hey, thank you. Thank you so much, friends. Let us pray. Holy Spirit, for these prayers that were just read, would you help us to live in the reality that they speak of like never before? Do something deep in our hearts as we listen to them. We ask in your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Observation one, and this is the biggest observation. Prayer is much more than the words we say when we close our eyes and we talk directly to God. I just closed my eyes. I talked directly to God and said amen. But I didn't need to. I could have just opened my eyes and continued talking without saying amen, to indicate that everything that comes next is still done in conversation with God. This sermon is still done in conversation with you and the scriptures and the living God who is present with us. This worship service is an act of prayer. It's more than just when we close our eyes, sometimes tilt our heads, sometimes change the tone of our voice and talk to God. Prayer is more. It's much more. Prayer is orienting our whole selves toward God. And for a long time, I haven't understood this. I thought prayer was primarily when I focused directly and talked to God. I thought prayer was primarily when I would pray through an acronym like this one right here. This is a great acronym. And if you're learning to pray, or if you're old and want refreshment in prayer, this is a good one. You pause and just slow down, and you let your mind just sift, let the things come to your mind, and you just acknowledge that they're in your mind, in God's presence. And then you reflect, and maybe you ask, God, who are you? Or who am I in your presence, God? Or God, what's a scripture verse that you have to say for me? You ask some reflection questions. And then you ask God for things. Ask God for the desires of your heart. God longs to give us the desires of our hearts. And he says, ask. And then you yield. God, not my will, but yours be done. This is a great acronym to grow in your prayer, and I highly recommend it. But it's also true that prayer is more than just this. Prayer is a relationship that God invites us into that is expansive, and it's a free-flowing experience where our whole life is oriented Godward, where we regularly are aware of God's loving presence with us right now. This takes them getting used to, because we usually learn to pray through an acronym. We don't usually learn to pray that life is this expansive, free-flowing experience of God. Prayer is more. So on Wednesday, I was having a bad day. I slept in and didn't go on a jog. Puts me in a bad mood. Then I scrolled the news instead of lingering with scripture. Then I got lost on an errand in Stockton, trying to find a health insurance office in South Stockton. I finally found the office and waited in a long line to get help. They told me that the problem wasn't with their office and that I needed to call a phone number instead in Sacramento. I drove home. I called the phone number. They told me their problem, they didn't have the problem. The problem was in the county office I had just visited, and I would have to go back. And I said out loud to God, Father, I hate this. I'm pretty frustrated right now. And I oriented my whole morning Godward. And the whole experience and the frustration was prayer. It's a free-flowing experience oriented to God, lived in prayer, even if it was a crummy morning, even if I was frustrated. Prayer is more than just when we close our eyes. Observation two, the all-of-life-oriented Godward reality of prayer is distinctly human. When you read the creation narrative in Genesis 1, you discover that prayer is a distinctly human action. Of all the earthly creation, it's only humans who pray. It's only humans who orient their lives, their focus, Godward. Only humans talk to God and listen to him. Prayer is part of being human. It is an essential part of being human. And this is a key insight, because as the biblical story continues, we discover that people who drift away from listening and talking with God drift into chaos and pain. Adam and Eve drift away from listening, drift away from talking. They could have asked God for some clarification about the tree and the fruit. They could have paused a moment and said, God, could you give us some clarity about this? The serpent seems to have a different interpretation of the facts. They drift away from it, and they bring in chaos and pain. The same is true for us today. This means that when we do not listen to God, when we do not talk to Him, when we do not involve Him in our thoughts, our words, and our actions, when we do not orient our life Godward, it is to the detriment of our humanness. Not listening to God, not talking with God, is detrimental to humanity. Let me put this more strongly. Every crisis on our news feeds in 2026 will exist because of a prayer crisis. Every crisis will exist because people are not talking to God, not listening to Him, not following Him. Prayer is essential to our humanity. Observation number three. It helps to have a mentor as you grow in your orienting your life Godward prayer. It helps to have someone to pray with, someone to ask you how it's going. Did you get distracted? It helps to have somebody tell you, that's normal. I get distracted all the time when I pray. You didn't hear anything back from God? It helps to have someone tell you, that's normal. God is often very silent when we pray. Do you feel like a failure when you pray or when you forget to pray? It helps to have a mentor say, yeah, that's hard. You know, prayer is hard. It's hard to keep doing, and the difficulty of prayer needs to be acknowledged. And on the positive side, if something surprising comes to mind when you're praying, if you see an image or a word comes to mind or a scripture comes to mind, it helps to have a mentor to say, hey, let's explore what God might be saying to you through this time of prayer. You have a vision for your life? Let's talk about it. It helps to have a mentor. You know, a good exercise is to take out a notebook, have a journal when you pray, and if something happens in the silence or in the surprise, write that down. Write down what comes to mind and then bring it to some friends or your life group and just process it together. Bring it to a mentor and say, hey, this is what's happening in prayer. Could we talk about it? It helps to have a mentor. Here's an easy action step for all of us to take. I want to invite you this Tuesday to drop into something we call Selah Sessions. It's from 11 to 7, and it's right here at our church. Selah is a Hebrew word. It means pause. And Selah Sessions is a time for us to pause and to talk with God. One of the pastors will be in the room praying silently, and if you want to talk through anything or ask a question about prayer, you can talk to one of the pastors, or you can just come for a few minutes. You can come for all 8 hours if you wanted to, and be mentored in prayer. Have some time to pause and reflect. We're going to do this Tuesday and then in two Tuesdays on the 20th to come and pray. And then one more invitation. We have a worship night coming up after the final Selah session called Refuel. Be right here on Wednesday night. So there's three opportunities to grow in prayer together. Observation number four. We cannot pray without the Holy Spirit's help. We cannot pray without the Holy Spirit's help. Growing in a lifestyle of prayer in 2026 is not up to our own ability. Praise God for that. Yes, prayer is the most important thing. It is the one thing. It is the work, but it's not just our work. It's God's work too. God is interested in helping us grow in orienting our whole life Godward. He doesn't leave it up to us. He knows that there's people like Neil in the world who just can't get it right and forget all the time. And so if you want to grow in prayer in 2026, consider simply asking the Holy Spirit for help. Help me, Holy Spirit. Ask Him for help as often as it comes to mind. Help me, Holy Spirit. And He will. We can trust that God will teach us to pray over the course of this year and over the course of our whole lifetime. He will do it. He loves us. He loves helping us experience how He's created us to be. That's observation four. Okay, how are we doing? Four observations in, a couple more to go. My hope is that as we talk through these observations, as you write them down, you'll be able to then reflect on them later and allow God to continue to speak and to work in us as we move forward in the year. All right? Next observation, number 5. Jesus shows us how to pray. Talk about a mentor. Jesus is the great undoer of Adam and Eve's lack of prayer in the garden. Where Adam and Eve didn't listen to God, didn't talk to him, Jesus does, and he does it faithfully. He does it with excellence. Jesus does it perfectly. And so if you want to grow in prayer, if you want your awareness of God to take over more and more of your life, copy Jesus. You know, I suggest that you read a gospel, maybe pick one gospel, and with a note card in hand or journal in hand, and as you read through the gospel, write down how Jesus prays. Write down what he prays for. Maybe write down how long some of his prayers are. Just whatever it is about, just explore Jesus' style of prayer and see what you come up with. Here's a few of ideas that I wrote down, of things I noticed from Jesus. The first one is that Jesus prays scripture. That's interesting. Jesus prays the scripture. He takes literal passages from scripture and he uses them as a guide to prayer. We heard Psalm 22, verse 1 read, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When did Jesus pray that? When he was dying on the cross. Scriptures. When he had no other words to say. Scriptures were his prayer. As a faithful Jew, Jesus would have grown up memorizing the scriptures, getting them in his mind and in his heart. Memorize the scriptures, friends. Teens, if you're in this room, teens, your memories are way better than my memory. I'm an old guy. Your memories are fresh and ripe to absorb things. Memorize the scriptures, kids. Get them in your hearts. And everybody else who's a little older like me, if you want a little challenge, maybe try memorizing one verse a week in 2026. I give you total permission to stop after a month, but one verse a week, and maybe you write it on a little note card, you keep it in your pocket, you set it by your mirror, you read it while you're driving, and don't do that, everybody on the live stream, don't do that, and memorize the scripture. And see what God does. There are tons of ways to memorize the scripture. The second thing that I wrote down on my note card as I read through the gospel is that Jesus prays all-encompassing prayers. He just prays big prayers. We're talking about what we call the Lord's Prayer that was also read this morning. The Lord's Prayer is an outline of Jesus' entire mission on earth. The Lord's Prayer is an expression of Jesus' heart. You can read this prayer and you can discover exactly what Jesus is passionate about. It's an all-encompassing prayer. Every aspect of our life is somehow captured in the Lord's Prayer. I challenge you to think of a prayer that you could pray that's not somehow included in the Lord's Prayer. I don't think it can be done. Pray the Lord's Prayer. Now, I won't say more about the Lord's Prayer right now, but at the end of the service, Ty and Serena are actually going to lead us in praying through the Lord's Prayer. You'll see when we get there. But I will say this one thing. I have this book. It's called 57 Words That Changed the World. And it's all about the Lord's Prayer. If you're looking for a mentor to pray, to grow in prayer, I recommend this book, 57 Words That Changed the World. But you can come up afterward and take a look at it. Observation 6. Prayer is not about what I want. It's about what God wants. Have you ever noticed that you often do not get what you want when you pray? God, I want a parking space close to the store. Now, sometimes, you know, you're pulling into Costco and voila, it's a miracle. But not usually. God, I want a good grade on my math test. God, I want a better relationship with my parents. How often have we prayed that? And it's still hard. God, I want to be healed. I want to stop hurting. I want direction in making this decision. And it doesn't seem like God is answering. Sometimes God does answer these prayers, but often, in my experience, he doesn't always. Some people don't get what they ask for, but they always get what God wants. What God always does when we pray is he gives us what he wants. And what he wants is God himself with us. What God wants is God himself with us. Like he created Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden to be close, to be in intimate relationship, to be in conversation, to experience all the things that life brings us. This close intimacy with his presence. This is why Jesus came. This is why the Holy Spirit is here. This is what God wants in the midst of our prayers. Prayer is an action of God getting what he wants. God, here I am, orienting my whole life Godward towards you. That right there is what God wants. And he takes us deeper and deeper than we could ever imagine. In 2026, this is me. God, I want X, Y, and Z as soon as possible, please. And this is God. Here I am. Loving you. Receive my presence. This is because, observation number 7, prayer is about living in God's presence. Some church mystics have observed that one of the pinnacles in a lifestyle of prayer is to walk through the doorway of Zephaniah 3:17, which we heard read earlier, and to look at God looking at us in love. Here's Zephaniah 3:17. The Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with his love. He will exult over you with loud singing. We can ask God for things, and we should. He invites us to. We can tell God honestly everything on our minds. Nothing is too horrible or too surprising for God to hear. We can just share it all with him. And also, our goal is to look at God looking back at us in love and loving us. Just loving us in the midst of who we are. Loving you in the midst of everything in your life. Loving you no matter what you have done. Loving you no matter what choices you've made or thoughts you've thunk or arguments you've had or words you've said or curses you've uttered or anything like that. God is inviting us and welcoming us and just loving us. He sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross to pay for all of those things that I just mentioned and more. To pay for all the things that you've done in your life, he sent his son to bear the penalty, the burden, the result of that, to defeat evil, to defeat death, so that we could see him looking at us with love and live in his presence. God, you're here now in this room. Later on today, God, you're here now loving me in my kitchen. God, I'm driving to work. You're here now, loving me. God, I'm sending these emails. I'm living in your presence. My whole life is oriented Godward, and you're loving me right now. God, I'm having these arguments. I feel this conflict in my heart, and my life is oriented Godward, and I know you're loving me right now. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Whatever we do in this day. Friends, the goal of prayer and the goal of life is to have an ever deeper awareness that God loves us and that God is with us. God is looking at you with love right now and always. Prayer is the one thing in 2026. And church, we are going to experience God's presence in our whole lives as we pray. Like never before. I'm really excited for this year together. Prayer is the one thing. So church, let me ask you, are you ready for some football? Let's go play. All right. Nice throw, Ty. Thanks very much. That was the teaching. Now for the practice. I'm going to invite up Ty and Serena to lead us in praying through the Lord's Prayer together, and then we're going to share communion, which is also an act of prayer. Ready? Come on up, friends.
So as we prepare our hearts for communion, let us pray together the words that are underlined. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. In 2026, may we and our loved ones receive your fathering love and grace more deeply than ever. May we revere you, honor you, and worship you more deeply than ever. May who you are and what you can do take up more space in our vision than our anxieties, our struggles, our goals. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. King Jesus, who makes right all wrongs, give us and give our neighbors a taste of your kingdom now. For those struggling to make ends meet, bring your kingdom. For those lacking the essentials of daily life, bring your kingdom. For those suffering under depression and anxiety, bring your kingdom. For those who are heartbroken or jaded, bring your kingdom. For those addicted or discouraged, bring your kingdom. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Your will be done in Covenant Grove as it is done in heaven. Though the nations rage, you bring joy. Where resources are scarce, you bring abundance. Though people are cruel, you have endless kindness. While apathy is contagious, you bring passionate vision. Your will is for your people to experience your joy, your abundance, your kindness, and passion. Amen, church.
Amen.
Give all of us and all our local and national leaders the grace to desire your will and the bravery to pursue it. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
Give us this day our daily bread. Gracious giver of good gifts, thank you for the provision of food we ate last year, the water we drank, the air we breathed, the conversations we had, the things we learned, the work we did, and the people alongside us. We ask in this new year, Lord, give love to the lonely and isolated, give rest to the burnt out, give focus to the frenzied, give food to the hungry, give sleep to the exhausted. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. Lord, we ask your forgiveness for the ways we have caused harm in the world. Forgive us of our wrongdoing, our wrong hoping, our wrong thinking, and wrong treating. This year, turn us into humble forgivers of those who treat us wrongly by what they do, think, and say. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. This year will contain many tests and temptations for us, for our neighbors, and for our loved ones. When we are tempted to look to other things to meet our needs, deliver us. When we seek our own honor and forget to honor you, deliver us. When we are sad and think you might not care, deliver us. When we are tempted to turn away from you, deliver us. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. For yours is the kingdom and the glory and the power forever. Amen.
Amen.